Hey, it's Marcel. I just wanted to give you a quick disclaimer before we jump into this episode and let you know that it was recorded in early August of 2020. So when we talk about timelines in the episode, they might sound a little funny because you're probably hearing this sometime in the fall. So just keep that in mind as you listen to the episode. And with that, I'll let you jump right into it.
This is the Agency Profit Podcast, the podcast for agency owners that want to run a more profitable business that doesn't depend on them. Introducing your host, CEO and co-founder of Parakeeto, Marcel Petipaw.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Agency Profit Podcast. I'm excited today to introduce you all to an agency owner, somebody in the trenches today that has recently done some big things, made some big transitions in the business, made some big changes to his operations, and has gotten some amazing results. He's the sole founder of Word Agents, which is essentially a copywriting service, most recently a productized service. He's been in the SEO and digital marketing space since 2009, manages a portfolio of SEO websites, some of which have exited. And he also owns a noodle bar called Bakuto in Lyndhurst, New York, which is in Long Island. He's based out of Long Island. And when he's not running his many businesses, you can find him playing guitar and hanging out with his family. With all of that, thank you so much for being with us, Vince Diletto.
Thanks, Marcel. This is awesome. Glad to be here, man.
So I'm super intrigued with your story because you spent, you know, quite some time building Word Agents and things were going, you know, objectively really well. The business was growing. You guys hit some pretty big milestones. And then most recently, you kind of decided to change things up. Walk us through the process that you had to go through to take your business from where it was, which was, you know, kind of clients coming to you saying like, this is what I want. And you figuring out how much it costs and doing it like very much bespoke project to project to now being like really dialed in as a productized service. What were some of the hardest parts about that? And how did you work through it?
Yeah. So I have been trying to launch like a backend client dashboard and project management system for years now. I paid overseas developers to kind of build us a custom thing that got scrapped. That was like, you know, a good 10 grand out the window. And there was always this out of the box platform called Service Provider Pro. It was always floating around. I was always considering it, but it didn't really like fit my needs 100%. It wasn't until this year, and I was working with a consultant and talking to some buddies, and I really kind of saw the improvements they made to this platform. And I realized that it got me like 80% of the way there. And the other 20% that it didn't have really wasn't like a make or break it. So we went with Service Provider Pro, and it's been a great like kind of multi-use platform. It's a help desk, it's project management, it's your mini CRM, client dashboard, invoicing tool. It's all there. And really that was like the base that I needed to really jump from project-based, which was all like spreadsheets and emails, to like a something I could build upon. And from there, it was really just updating my systems so the team knew how to use this automated platform. It was creating a hiring system. So we hired a talent manager who was now in charge of just onboarding writers nonstop, you know, hiring, vetting, training them for us. And it was building a marketing and sales system where all over paid media, all over LinkedIn, all over email. It was really just like the systems I couldn't get to when I was buried in operational work myself.
Obviously, there's a fear when you make a change like this that you're going to maybe miss out on some business. Like, I think this is the big thing about niching down, right? A lot of people are scared, like, I'm not going to get as much business, or I'm going to have to like go through this period, this downturn period before I can ramp back up. I mean, that wasn't really the case for you guys, was it? When you made this shift, it didn't seem to hurt you a whole lot.
Yeah, I mean, we did take a hit, but I was prepared for that because I had saved up most of my... A lot of our profit just went into our savings. You know, for years I was doing, you know, over $1 million in revenue as, you know, the single owner, and I really had no staff and it was just contracted writers. So a lot of the money was just saved in banks. So we had a little bit of a cushion to be able to do this and feel safe about doing so. But I was fine with letting go of the short-term revenue just because I knew how much higher my ceiling grew with the productized service. So it was just like, you know, taking a hit for now for, you know, big wins in the future.
Right. But how quickly have you started to recover?
Oh, almost immediately. I mean, we launched a productized service on April 20th of this year. And, you know, I think the, you know, we spoke a couple of weeks ago, I think we're at 67% growth off that floor since then. And it's still going, man. And we're still implementing marketing and sales strategies too. So we're just at the starting line, and I'm back up to previous revenue levels already. So everything above here is just like new ground for us.
How do you figure out when and how much you need to hire? Like, what is the data that you're now looking at on a regular basis now that you've transitioned to productized service? That's really important for you to figure out like where you need to be focusing in the business to keep it running and growing.
Well, a really, I guess, rough and tumble of way of doing it is where, since we're able to break down our revenue to the word unit, I can also break that. I can also quickly average out what that's going to cost us in regards to cost of goods sold, which are our writers, and then I can gauge capacity that way. So basically, at the beginning of every week and every month, I can see what our due dates are looking like, and then gauge capacity. That's really rough. So we're building out dashboarding systems that are going to help us determine capacity. So, you know, that's a whole other conversation. Like we just onboarded with Wicked Reports, which is a marketing attribution system, and that's helping us build our marketing funnel. But we're also building just a general dashboard for the business based off of Google Sheets, actually, and possibly a tool called Gecko Board. That allows us to kind of pull in data and kind of visualize where we're at with various metrics in the business. And part of that will be writer capacity too. And that's basically just going to crunch the numbers of the process I'm doing manually anyway, and give us just like orders to available writers ratio.
Hey, it's Marcel here, and I just want to take a quick second to thank you for tuning into the show. I hope you're getting so much value out of today's episode, and if you are, then I want to encourage you to head on over to parakeeto.com, where you can get access to even more great resources to help you run a more profitable agency, like additional episodes of the show, blog posts detailing the things we talk about, as well as lots of free downloadable checklists, spreadsheet templates, and other resources, all designed to help you run a more profitable agency. So with that, hope you enjoy the rest of the episode, and I'll let you get back to it. And now, another thing I want to dig into here, it sounds like you have kind of standardized your cost of goods sold in a sense as well. Like what a writer gets paid is fairly standardized. So you know your cost per word, and you know your price per word. So you know your gross margin essentially at the moment that you sell the product.
Yep. Yeah. We have, we know our exact margins for each of our four packages. So our rate per word for our writers is part of our COGS, and that's standardized. And then the rate we give, the team leaders, which really are our proofreaders and quality assurance people, that's standardized on the article level too. So basically, for every word and every article we put out, I know exactly what it's going to cost us. And we're really just kind of working on figuring out our cost of client acquisition based on that now. That took a little longer just because we need some more data to build up after we launched, but we're getting there.
Awesome. So I just want to like touch on this for a moment, because obviously you're at, you know, what some people would consider an extreme end of the spectrum. You've like really leaned into productization. You know exact margins the moment that you make a sale, you know, and because everything is so standardized, like getting the level of insight that you have in the business is mathematically fairly straightforward. So now obviously you want to work on making that more automated and streamlined. So for those that are listening, like keep in mind that you don't have to go all the way to like full productization to get a lot of the benefit of simplifying the edge cases that are possible in your client work by just being a little bit more deliberate about the kinds of services you offer, the kind of process that you offer, the kind of scopes that you offer to clients, a little bit of just taking bits and pieces of what you're hearing here and applying it to your business can make it so much easier to scale and streamline, you know, all the things you need to do as a business to deliver consistent results to your clients and grow to meet that demand.
Yeah, I would say that, you know, if you're, you know, the productized service model isn't for every business. You know, the bespoke project-based agency is going to live for a long time from now. But what you can do is really just standardize your systems. That's going to save you a crap ton of time. You can automate wherever you can. Bring in pre-built automations and don't do what I did and like with the project management software and try to find the perfect fit. Just find, you know, remember your 80-20, and if it can get you 80% of the way there and you can kind of figure out workarounds for the other 20%, you're going to save so much time, and that time is going to be strategy time for you to find other areas of growth. So it doesn't have to be this business model. It's just being organized and saving time wherever you can.
Mm. And I mean, on that note, I guess this is the final question, which is like, if somebody's listening to this and they're thinking about either fully productizing or just, you know, I'm going to call it like quasi productizing, just standardizing what they're doing in their agency, what is the most important piece of advice you have for them?
Understand what your customers want and don't launch a product until you know exactly what it is, because you're just wasting time if you try to do that.
Yeah, that's some great advice. And this reminds me actually of a podcast episode we did a while ago with Vendasta, which obviously they have a ton of productized white label services. And, you know, it's okay to just reach out to a couple of clients and say, hey, we're working on a new service offering. Want to just try it out with you, test it out and get a sense of what does and doesn't work about that process. If the margins are good, if the results are consistent, you know, that's a totally legit way to vet things out.
For all of our add-on services, we're going to be surveying our clients and we're going to be running, you know, just test landing pages just to gauge interest before we launch anything. For the core product, we are already in business. So we had the data built up already, but yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. We're going to be surveying before we launch anything else.
Great advice. The minimum viable product, certainly less expensive in services than it is in software, because you just have to throw some people at it for a little bit and you can stop it whenever you want. Yeah, certainly not the same as trying to build your own software, which if you're listening to this and you have tried to build your own custom software to run your agency, I hear this all the time. Leave us a comment. Let us know. I think it's kind of like a battle scar. It's like a,
if we you did it. It's yeah, I lost even more hours of sleep and, you know, trying to yell at like an overseas developer who's not on the same time schedule as you. It was just something I never want to go through again. You know, yeah, I'd hire a full-time developer in office before I ever tried that again.
It's a tough road to go down, but I mean, it just speaks to how, you know, I mean, this is the reason that we exist. Like, there's just not great solutions for agencies to run their business on top of in a lot of cases. So, yeah, well, there it is. So with all that, Vince, thanks so much for taking the time to be on the show and sharing your story.
Thanks, Marcel. This was awesome.
Well, that's all for today's episode of the Agency Profit Podcast. I hope you enjoyed the show. And if you did, make sure you subscribe so you never miss another episode. And make sure you head on over to parakeeto.com to get access to lots of other great resources to help you run a more profitable agency. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode.